News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. 8:07. It's crazy what I will do here with the convention. If a big speech happens at night and I'm already night-night, sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night, use my phone to find the recording, and then the political speech is like a lullaby.
Yeah.
Because I'm up too early. I'm talking like 1:30 or something like that, you know, a couple hours earlier than I want to be. And so then I'll say, well, I'll catch up, and I'll also have a better idea what happened and know what kind of clip to try and find in the, you know, when we get to the newsroom. And I'll listen to, like last night, J.D. Vance.
And do you think you retain any of that information once you fall asleep?
I do. I do. And then this morning we've been so overwhelmed with all kinds of information. I just remember getting an impression of Vance's performance last night. We'll get into that, but I know you do have some audio. And also the fact that people were surprised, including left-leaning news organizations. I don't know why you would be surprised, because I guess if you have yourself made J.D. Vance out to be a monster already, You missed the boat on him. Maybe some of his, you know, political leanings or policies. Obviously, he mirrors Trump in a lot of ways. And he also, his rhetoric, I guess, has been kind of, you know, he had to win a race.
Yes.
So he had to be very forceful. But he's a very thoughtful, very brilliant guy.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the intent behind him being chosen. I think also, you know, Trump Jr. is friends, very much friendly with J.D. Vance. And with his age, I wonder if Trump, of course, he's looking at it politically. This is a guy who can win the Rust Belt for me, but also really take Trump's overall message and put it into sound bites that are easy to understand, I guess. He could kind of relay the Trump MAGA message to more people.
Amen.
He
about it being considered toxic by one side or the other.
And it's a populist message, right? It's one of the things CNN said was that all of the blue-collar Clinton voters that in many ways that Vance speech last night echoed some of those thoughts and ideas and feelings. Like, hey, what happened to our jobs? Where did our jobs go? They went overseas. Anyway, I thought Vance did a great job. You know, he spent a lot of the beginning of the speech talking about Trump and the assassination attempt. And we were saying early in the RNC, they didn't seem to be talking about it much at all. Like, they had already written their speeches and they weren't going to deviate from that at all. When, you know, while obviously the president, almost former president, almost lost his life, we'd be in a completely different America. I don't know what it would look like right now, but it would be very strange. But they didn't capitalize on it. They didn't capitalize on day one that the president was almost killed 2 days earlier. And I thought
they weren't quick enough on their feet.
Right. And I thought Vance, he did a great job laying that out. Then he got into his story, which so many people know of from Hillbilly Elegy, the book, and then the movie. And he had some really good moments. I think this was one of his strongest, as he was talking about, he's 39 years old. Biden has been a politician for longer than he's been alive. And he kind of laid it out like this with a lot of those populist messages. Oh, I'm sorry, I have it paused. Give me just a second. Okay. I mean, I'm muted. Let's unmute and try this again. All right, here's J.D. Vance with a part of his speech I thought was very strong yesterday.
When I was in the fourth grade, a career politician by the name of Joe Biden supported NAFTA, a bad trade deal that sent countless good jobs to Mexico. When I was a sophomore in high school, that same career politician named Joe Biden gave China a sweetheart trade deal that destroyed even more good American middle-class manufacturing jobs. When I was a senior in high school, that same Joe Biden supported the disastrous invasion of Iraq. And at each step of the way, in small towns like mine in Ohio or next door in Pennsylvania or Michigan, in states all across our country, jobs were sent overseas and our children were sent to war.
That was, I think, a very strong moment in the speech late last night from Vance. He had his mother there, who he said in December or soon, she'll be 10 years sober. She had opioid addictions.
Yeah.
And
that's a big part of the story.
A massive part of the story. So he was raised by his
grandparents.
His grandparents. And he told a great story about his mamaw, as he calls her. And I think this is the thing. I could relate to a lot of this. I didn't have as hard scrabble a life as he and so many in Ohio and rural Pennsylvania and so many other places. But, you know, this story about his grandma reminded me about my grandma and some stories we have of her. Here's Vance telling a fantastic story. There we go.
And our movement, ladies and gentlemen, it's about grandparents all across this country who are living on Social Security and raising grandchildren they didn't expect to raise. And while we're on the topic of grandparents, let me tell you another mamaw story. Now, my mamaw died shortly before I left for Iraq in 2005. And when we went through her things, we found 19 loaded handguns. The thing is, they were stashed all over her house, under her bed, in her closet, in the silverware drawer. And we wondered what was going on, and it occurred to us that towards the end of her life, Mamaw couldn't get around so well. And so this frail old woman made sure that no matter where she was within arm's length of whatever she needed to protect her family. That's who we fight for. That's American spirit.
I think he did a great job throughout of using his age and so many people that are around that age, like me, and you really, I mean, you have your Matt Gaetzes, you have people that are around that same age. On the other side, you have the AOCs, you have a lot of people that are millennials or near it. But he did a great job of saying, hey, that Iraq war, you know, we were all in, but we were led, we were lied to in many ways about that. He said the housing crisis, just one thing after another. And I think there's so many people that can relate to growing up and seeing all this happening and feeling one way then, and then realizing how big of a hole so many of these massive bureaucratic decisions made by the federal government has put our country in, the country that is now being passed from the boomers on down to X and then to millennials. And they're regardless of, you know, what party your allegiance is to, there have been massive, massive mistakes made in just the last few decades, to say the least, about before that. And he is a smart enough person, and because of his upbringing, he's not disconnected like we hear so many of these elites when they try to talk to the American people. I think he was a fantastic choice, and I think last night he put on a really strong speech.
Well, think about this. You can eliminate a job from the people around him. And that job would be speechwriter. He doesn't need a speechwriter. He is a speechwriter. He's a writer.
Yeah.
He speaks from the heart. He knows how to write. He knows how to affect people. He can be strong when he needs to be strong. Ex-Marine, fought in Iraq. So he's got the credentials of one of them, you know, he's a very talented guy. But I think that the side of him that people are going to see going forward, Dalton, is going to be more of the compassionate side of him. And he's compassionate because of the way he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But he's able to express that. When he was on his book tour for the
Hillbilly-ology.
Yeah. And he was getting some, like, there was some pushback about Hillbilly being in the name of the book, and that, you know, that was a no-no for whatever reason. But his interviews on every platform, 60 Minutes, CNN, didn't matter. People loved him because the story was heartbreaking, but it was inspiring because look how far he's come. And at the same time, he was able to express himself as just a real person with a little more talent than you and I in his ability to tell the story. We can have certain feelings. Can we always express them? He can.
And, you know, that was a good moment last night, of course, and maybe there's some detractors. I was surprised at CNN and their response. Now, they did have a little bit of pushback, but for the most part, they were like, wow, And they did the CNN fact check. They only hit him for one thing, and that was when he referenced the Iraq war. And the CNN fact checker said, well, actually, Trump was, it's not proven that he was for the Iraq war, in reference to Howard Stern interview that came 6 months after the war began. And Trump at that time said, well, I think they should have done it right the first time, the Gulf War, of mm-hmm. course, before going in the second time. And then Howard Stern apparently pressed him on it again, and he said, listen, W either needs to do something or not do something. So he was kind of noncommittal in that interview, and who knows if he was even going on to speak politics there. Mm-hmm. But then by 2004, and CNN's fact checker admitted it, that by that time Trump was on the other side of the Iraq war, which was much earlier than a whole lot of other people. So that was the one fact check they got with him. But this is probably, you know, he had the night last night. If they do a vice presidential debate, that'll be a big moment as well. But really, the effect that the vice presidential candidate has on the ticket, I think, just like Trump said and so many others, it's pretty minimal, especially when you consider that it's Trump at the top of the ticket.
Okay.
And for now, Biden at the top of the other ticket. Good insurance, sure. Maybe shows how much of an up-and-comer Vance is, but I'm not sure that it will have as massive an effect on November as maybe some of these other elements.
I think it can have an effect because of this. Because this is a setup for the next presidential election. This is a chance for Vance to show himself, acquit himself, prove himself, and then when it gets to 2028, he'll be the GOP.
The heir apparent.
He'll be the heir apparent. So I think people will look at this. If they like Vance, if Vance passes their smell test and they're Republicans or they're even independents, I think Vance can appeal to a lot of that group. I think that some people got it wrong on him. Now, we're early, obviously, and that was the honeymoon last night. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But his ability to communicate and his compassionate side, and the fact that he was a Marine, he's got it all.
Right.
And again, no speechwriters needed. You said they weren't ready on Monday to address the shooting and all of that. Well, he gets nominated, and here comes Wednesday like a freight train, and he's ready.
He's ready.
Yeah. He's ready because he's a writer, and because he's smart, and because he can express his feelings.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. And you forget, and you watched so many of these people who got up on the stage. And another powerful moment was the Bronze Star families and reading the names of mm-hmm. the 13 who died at Abbey Gate.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sean this afternoon will talk about the 98-year-old veteran who got up there on the stage after that and spoke. But you see how hard it is. And we were just cracking fun about, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, whatever you think about her politics, she was kind of the way she was on stage, kind of a little off last night.
Yeah, that was a couple of nights back. But okay. Yes.
Matt Gaetz, a little bit of Botox before his speech last night. And when they get up there, and Gaetz is a pretty good speaker, but you could see it's not easy. And Vance did a pretty good job. When we get back, I do want to talk about the latest on the shooter in this investigation. But as far as Biden, it might be coming soon. He might be dropping out soon. You have Pelosi now telling him he can't win privately, quote unquote, privately. That leaked everywhere. But said polls show not only will you probably lose, but also the House and Senate. Then Biden has that interview with BET come out that says, I'll step out if a doctor tells me I have a serious condition.
Mm-hmm.
Then he tests positive for COVID.
Yeah.
More embarrassing parts of the BET interview come out. What if he drops out today before Trump's speech? How much of that Trump speech for tonight is written about specifically Biden and his policies? I don't know. Maybe that'd be an extra little curveball.
Yeah, I think Trump would be nimble enough to navigate all that. 820, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, FBI, conducted, I should say, 200 interviews. I know, I think we've got the same story.
It's hard to have the same story, Dan. There's so many out there.
That is, y'all just don't know. And maybe you try to read as many stories as we do, but there are a million stories out there. And the other thing is, I will listen to an interview, as far as the Biden thing, I will listen to an interview like I did this morning on America, or this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell you that was pre-recorded. That was like 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Her response, her overview of the situation, that's changed.
Yeah.
And it keeps changing, flip-flopping. Oh, they're going to let it go. No, Biden. No, they're going to push him out.
Oh.
No, they're going to let him go.
Oh, yeah. One side to the other.
Exactly. And so you've got to be in the moment. And that lady either wasn't in the moment, or Gordon Deal conducted that interview like on Monday. You know, some putting a show together that sometimes happens.
It's tough to pre-record this week more than any other week.
Exactly.
Yesterday was only Wednesday. Today is only Thursday. It's been a long one.
So they conducted 200 interviews, combed through 14,000 images. I think John Barrasso from Wyoming kind of. This is how elected officials are feeling.
The FBI and the Secret Service knew that there was a suspicious person an hour in advance of when the shooting occurred.
Very frustrating.
Yeah, and I'll go through this timeline here in a second. I just wanted to play this. The Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle, she actually showed up at the RNC last night. She said she'd be there. She was hounded by a bunch of the same Republican senators we heard talk yesterday. They shut down a lot of these Republicans on the call, didn't allow them to ask further questions during that all hands on deck call yesterday. But there was a CNN interview, and after they put out that news that there was reportedly a serious threat, an attempt on or a threat on Trump's life from Iran, they said, "We beefed up Secret Service."
Yeah.
And all of us went, "What? That was beefed up?"
Exactly.
CNN asked her about that. And remember, she's going to speak with Comer next week in the House Oversight Committee.
Every element, every part of his, from the intelligence to the counter-assault team, to the detail agents, the shift agents, I mean, every element, top to bottom, of the advance in the operation, was every element increased after you learned of this credible threat.
What we increased was what we felt was appropriate for the former president and for that particular event on that day.
That sounds like a no.
I am not saying a no at all.
So let's talk about this timeline and basic order of things from yesterday. It sounds like about 3 p.m., 3 hours before the shooting, that's when crooks first tried to pass through security, the screening there, with a rangefinder. So they're like, hey, this guy tried to get in, but they didn't detain him at that time. 5 p.m., around an hour before the shooting, there's a video from a rally goer seeing him, Crooks, or someone who looks a lot like Crooks, it's very grainy, walking around the building that he would eventually climb to the top of.
Kind of just surveying it.
Yeah. Surveying it. And then 5:30 p.m., 40 minutes before the shooting, Crooks is photographed by security crawling around on the ground. That's the picture you could see from up top, where his jaw is kind of jutting out. That was taken by Secret Service from above him. 20 minutes before the shooting, he was noticed by law enforcement on top of the roof. And then just a few minutes before the shooting, the rally goers see him up there and start pointing. I think that was about a minute, 40 seconds. And then, of course, 6:11 p.m., the first shot is fired. Also, a report that came out that his parents, let me see here. I thought I had it pulled up here. They called police early on, like 3 hours, I believe. Let me pull the exact story.
They called the local police saying that they were worried about their son was gone, could be in harm's way. I don't know.
Right, that's exactly what it was.
They just called the local police in Bethel.
They contacted law enforcement hours before he opened fire. The mother and father said Crooks was missing. This was local police. Crooks was missing, and they were concerned about his welfare. And police have not said what actions they took after being contacted. So this timeline, it doesn't make things look better for the Secret Service, especially if they saw him on the roof, like these reports are saying. He had been spotted maybe without the rifle on the roof, or I'm not sure, but 20 minutes before the shooting actually occurred, and that he was trying to get in 3 hours earlier with the rangefinder. It's unbelievable.
It is. So you count three or four times when you're thinking this thing should have been snuffed out, right?
Mm-hmm. At least, yeah.
8:30 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Hit us up on the text line, 251-343-0106. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:35. Good to have you along. If you chose not to come along, we'd be literally just wasting our time here talking. We could just be in one or the other's living room.
Yeah.
No microphone.
I'd still probably talk to you, I guess.
But our message would not be amplified. Like we amplify Rob Hulbert every Thursday morning from Lagniappe Mobile. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys.
And this isn't just any Thursday, Dan. I think we needed more pomp and
That's
circumstance.
Right.
This is Nappy Thursday, as it's official now, the 2024 Lagniappe Nappy Award winners, and a big party coming on the way. But congratulations, Rob. I know that it's a lot of hard work that you and the entire team put into getting this out there and collecting the votes, counting them, and congrats.
Well, the hardest work is done by Ashley. Ashley Trice does the most of the hard work. I just kind of get dragged along the way. It's always an amazing program to get through this. It's a lot of fun for a lot of people, and I'm really happy that after 22 years of it, people still enjoy it.
I think that some people that don't win wish that Secretary of State Wes Allen would get involved. But we don't have time for all of that.
No.
We trust the nappies. We trust the nappies as they're presented to us, especially when we win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you catch much flack throughout the year, Rob? I mean, do people come up to you and they're like, "I want to punch you in the face. I can't believe I didn't win this."
We don't get that. It doesn't usually get that carried away, but there are definitely some people who are upset, you know, and who think that they've been ripped off in some way, shape, or form. But that's rare. I mean, most of the people who win are really happy that they won and feel, you know, they feel the love from the people of Mobile. It's a lot of votes, and so, you know, it's a cool thing for folks to be recognized. And, you know, that's the thing I always try to focus on is the positives of it, and even those who are nominated, it's a great recognition. You know, if you're in the top five or six people doing what you do in this area, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I and we thank everyone who voted for FM Talk 106.5, pulling home four awards. So we appreciate that. But I'm not joking. I think this is a really good, you know, service for the local community, but even people who vacation and come down, because I can't tell you how many times a decision has been made for me whether I want to go get something done here or there or go eat here or there, and I see that they won the nappy. Well, they're clearly good. So I use the nappy as kind of a guide map for a lot of what I do around here.
I absolutely do, too. I mean, if I need a service and I don't know anybody and haven't used it before, and I look at who the finalists were, then I'm like, okay, well, you know, they've kind of been vetted by the community to some extent, you know?
Yeah, I really love when I see, like, a first-time winner there. Maybe it's an organization or it's a doctor's office or whatever it is, and they're there, and then they're able to take in that evening. It's not far from the ESPYs. I mean, may have surpassed the ESPYs. It is a really fun time. It's a chance to see, for me, a lot of, you know, I wake up 10 past zero. So I'm not like a guy of the town, but I get to run into people, see everybody on a very celebratory night, correct?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The vibes are very positive. It's a lot of fun, and people are there to be recognized and, you know, and celebrate winning and or just having fun, you know, and to beat and celebrate the city. It's a positive evening, and it's always been, you know, something we look forward to. And I mean, it's the end of the nappies, so it's a lot of work has been put in, and it's kind of a great thing for our staff as well to be like, hey, it's over.
Yeah,
we kind of move on for a little bit. It's over for about 3 months.
Yeah. Then the cycle
until March, you know?
Then the campaigning
all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, check it out. All the winners are in the latest edition, and also at lagniappemobile.com. You mentioned positive vibes. I guess you could say some positive vibes back for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project. Since we last talked with you, the announcement Friday that $550 million in a federal it's from the infrastructure project, which I looked it up. Makes up 0.0004% of the infrastructure project, $550 million.
Right.
But now you combine that with grants and state money, and we're at about $1 billion towards the $3 billion, maybe $3.5 billion cost?
Yeah, we're getting, you know, maybe close to 40% funded. But it's a big step. Yes, it's a big, big step. And, you know, I mean, I've always said, that I think the federal government should take care of this bridge. It is a federal road, and so, you know, federal highway. It should be taken care of by the feds. So I think it makes sense that that money came in from them, and I'm glad that that was there. Hopefully, you know, hopefully there'll be more coming. As you said, is that that infrastructure bill is a large one, and there's a lot of they could throw us a little bit more money as well. But
yeah,
at least it's getting it to a much better spot, and hopefully we're going to get this thing started.
Yeah, that's what this seems to me. The news came out, and suddenly the momentum started back up again. Is that how you saw it, Rob?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's you're going to see the momentum move at this point. And everybody kind of said, all right, we can go now. You know, this is, I kind of feel that way. And, you know, hopefully that's what will happen, because it's time for it to happen.
And kind of a side story.
It's time for it to happen.
Yeah, a long, long time ago. And kind of a side story in this is Senator Katie Britt's involvement. And once Senator Shelby, you know, called it a career, that was a big question regarding Britt and how much time she spent around Shelby, but his ability to bring federal money down to our area and down to the state. This is a pretty big win for Katie Britt, and I know Ivy kind of taking a victory lap as well, but I thought it was notable that Britt was the one who was kind of bringing this news to the area.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's you know, obviously an up-and-comer in the Senate. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You see her face everywhere. I think she's going to be a good senator for the state in regard to getting getting funding and doing those things that we expect, we've come to expect from our senators, or at least from one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's a good thing that she's involved in that. You know, everybody, what do they say? You know, success has a million fathers. It's like everybody came out and said, I did this.
Yeah.
You know,
right. Yeah.
We got 15 press releases within 30 minutes saying that, you know, so-and-so did this. I did it, you know, but yeah, it's good for her to be involved in it
too. You know, Rob, part of my career in the city of Mobile, for sure, since 1995, has been not just on the air, but off the air and emceeing things, or trying to give my time to
community events and stuff.
Yeah, things that you look at it and you, well, I know this person's on the board and I'll help them out and I'll emcee this.
Right.
A lot of the things I did early on were drawdowns. And now the idea is, well, Dalton even talked about it on the air the other day, that he wouldn't mind seeing me get hauled off in the middle of a by law enforcement.
And, I was going to say, Dan, I don't know what the statute of limitations are. You may not want to make this, you may not want to make this confession over the airwaves.
I never thought that emceeing a drawdown, talking about it, would be a confession. But now I would be advised by an attorney that it is.
Oh, dirty Dan Brain, you're going to be hauled off. Yeah, we've got this, you're obviously referencing this drawdown for autism what's the bar, Pirates Cove,
yeah.
And so all of a sudden our attorney general has gotten involved and says it's illegal to do this. I'm just sort of dumbfounded by it. I thought he didn't have time to do something like that. He was too busy signing on to other lawsuits in other states to be involved in something like this.
Well, and it sounds, Rob, like and Brady Petrie kind of following up on that he did change his mind after State Senator Chris Elliott reached out to him. So I think that's exactly what happened. I don't think he took a single look at this thing. Like, he got some complaint from someone that they were doing this lottery for a Jeep, this drawdown for a Jeep, and then just kind of like a stamp it and send it out. You're not allowed to do that. And then Elliott calls and he changed his tune.
Yeah, well, I think he probably realized how idiotic he looked. And I mean, this is, you know, if you talking about press releases, that's all you get spewed, all press releases all day long from the Attorney General's office about his comments on this and the lawsuits he's joining in on this and all these other things, most of which have nothing to do with law and order in our state.
Yeah.
Most of them have to do with what I would consider his political future, fighting a drawdown to help autistic children, probably not a great move if you're running for more office, public office. Yeah, I mean, you might want to beat up Santa Claus next. I don't know what else you've got in mind, but it's just not a good look. I think that one was sour the second it hit. I mean, it's a real sour note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bad move for sure. I would start with maybe some of the other actual illegal gambling that's going on before you hit the autism charity.
I mean, that's the thing. It's not like Alabama's not full of bingo halls and things like that are not legal gambling, and he's busy worrying about a drawdown in, you know, at Pirates Cove for autism. I mean, are there not better things to do? I can think of a lot of things that I would love to see our Attorney General's office do and investigations they might get involved in that actually have something to do with millions of dollars being wasted in taxpayer money. That would be cool if he would do that, you know. But this is a real waste of time, and I'm sure he tucked his tail pretty quick and ran back.
Dalton, the question is, who was the Alberta screechy Karen that called this one in?
Great question.
Who was the one that did this, they draw down for the fight against autism was just too much for her, and she had to contact, the Attorney General of the state.
Yeah. Somebody just couldn't take it. I know. It's a strange world we live in, but yeah. I thought that was kind of dumbfounding for him to do that. I don't see very many politicians more transparently always running for something other than him. I mean, Steve Marshall is always looking. I mean, he looks like he's running for office all the time for something else. He's term limited out as an AG, so not a good move. Whoever advised him on that one, probably not a smart one.
He's like a runner in the starting blocks. He's poised
ready
and he's waiting for that gun to go off.
Don't get between him and a camera. You're going to get hurt. that's how it is.
Rob, I mean, I don't know how you guys cover it all in as in-depth as you do. Even just this last week and a half, you had news on the bridge, news on the Civic Center, news on the airport property, and then plenty more. It's all covered in the latest issue of Lanyap, along with, of course, the Nappy Award winners. If folks want to pick that up on stands or find it online, how can they do that?
Of course, all of our purple boxes, they're out there right now. This great issue to pick up. It's as thick as your wrist, so there's lots of stuff in there. Going online, Lanyap Daily online, that's where it is. I mean, we are doing a lot of news. We're doing probably 50 stories or more online, news stories and sports stories a week. And we can't get everything in the paper because, it would be that thick every week and the print bill would be astronomical. So, check it out online. Help us out. Keep us going. It helps us pay our folks and continue the good work we're doing.
All right, Job. We appreciate, Rob, the job that you do, and we appreciate the fact that you join us on Thursday so we can sort it all out. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thanks, Dan. We appreciate it. You guys have a great weekend.
See you at the Nappies.
Rob Holbert, LanyapMobile.com, and we'll come back and wrap it up with the texts, 251-343-0106, plus MSNBC comparing Biden's COVID and Trump's wounds from the shooting. We'll play that when we come back.
That's too good. Typical of me, I think, is Dalton comes over here and straightens out my text line and improves the font where I'm more comfortable reading it right on the air. And I pretty much have just ignored it ever since. But I do see that there are those out there in FM Talk 106.5 land that think that the COVID excuse, or the announcement. The doctor's saying that he's got COVID, Biden, they're not buying it. Or some of you are saying like, well, how would we really know? He was failing at this and that. He had the Latino thing coming up. He kicked around the interview on BET a little bit, had his moments there. Mm-hmm. And then he had another group coming up that he's going to speak to live. And his people were saying nothing good can come from any of this.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. There's so many conspiracies. This has been maybe the conspiracy theory week of all conspiracy theories weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump shooting
from both sides. I mean, you hop on Twitter and see how many people believe that this was like all planned out by the Trump team to have him
right down to his ear being shot off.
I mean, come on. And then, of course, the other side a lot of conspiracies as well. And but that BET interview and this clip. So the clip people were talking about yesterday was where he said, yeah, if I get medically diagnosed as having something or other, yeah, then I'll probably step out. But I couldn't believe this when this audio came out last night. He's doing an interview on BET, and he has one of the patented Biden brain farts, right, mm-hmm, where he starts to forget things. And he couldn't remember the name of his defense secretary, Lloyd Austin.
In Mobile, Alabama.
And maybe he couldn't remember his name because he's been gone the whole time. He's mm-hmm been either in Israel or Ukraine or, you know, wherever. He's been in a lot of places.
Well, and Lloyd Austin was gone for a while. And
that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, but he was gone off the job.
That's right.
He was hospitalized, and nobody even knew it.
It seems like that was ages ago, just a few months ago.
How in the world was that? No slap on the hand for that.
So two nights ago, Biden says he had, when asked if he had spoken with the Secret Service director, he says, yeah, I've spoken to him. No, it's a she.
It's a her.
And then you get this BET interview. You can't remember Lloyd Austin's name. He says the black man.
And so it's all about treating people with dignity. And it's about making sure that, look, I mean, for example, look at the heat I'm getting because I named the Secretary of Defense, the black man. I named Ketanji Brown. I mean, because of the people I've named.
And that started making the rounds last night.
Black Entertainment Network, by the way, is what BET stands for.
That would be
classic pandering. And not only do I see it as pandering, I'm sure black people see it as pandering. Mm-hmm. Like, this fool is just, you know, he's talking about his appointments of African Americans, and we get it, okay? You're a Democrat. You had to. Now, a new pool friend has emerged subtly after, I guess,
that's right,
60 years.
Yeah.
He did talk about Corn Pop back in the day,
mm-hmm,
and now he's spoken.
Yeah, we got a new friend from the when he was a lifeguard in the project. So, yeah he had. You mentioned Corn Pop.
Corn Pop we knew about. And then the new guy was...
So let me play. It's Mouse, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm pulling the audio right here because I just sent it to Sean yesterday. Maybe we'll get to that tomorrow morning because I did want to play this before that. All right, here we go. Here's... No, I'm not going to get to the Mouse audio on time. So other than that, MSNBC was talking about Biden's COVID diagnosis and Trump being shot at on Saturday. And here's Joy Reid yesterday comparing the two. Listen to this. Hold on. Let me get this fixed. The Mouse thing threw me on
elderly man.
All right, here we go. Start over.
Here's the question that I have on that. These two men are both elderly. Donald Trump is an elderly man who, for whatever reason, was given 9 seconds to take a iconic photo op during an active shooter situation. Weird situation. We'll figure that out one day. But his survival of that and bouncing right back and going right to his convention is being conveyed in the media world as a sign of strength. This current president of the United States is 81 years old and has COVID. Should he be fine in a couple of days? Doesn't that convey exactly the same thing? That he's strong enough, older than Trump, to have gotten something that used to really be fatal to people his age. So if he does fine out of it and comes back and is able to do rallies, isn't that exactly the same?
It should.
I mean, it's not exactly the same. It's not the same incident, but it's an elderly man coming through out of an illness.
It should.
First of all, okay, a sniffle to being shot. You know, sniffles for 3 days, which COVID can be, to being shot. And also, she's dismissing all of what Biden has been showing for, it's not even the COVID. It's not bouncing back and being regular again. What regular Biden isn't so hot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to bounce back to what degree? I mean, she should clarify that. Is he going to bounce back and become Biden when he was 65? No.
Yeah, maybe they'll blame long COVID. I don't know. Doesn't Have Medicine, I Had the Flu Once by Joy Reid's View. I'm practically a Navy SEAL. It's Paul said, notice Democrats never say it's about competence or effectiveness. Texter here, I think they're using this COVID thing with Biden as a sympathy plot for him. Nobody, including him, wore masks when he was shown getting out of the truck. Yeah, that's what, you know, the New York Times is supposed to be running a chart of how many people he got sick and then how many people those people are going to get sick. That's how it works when you walk around without a mask, right?
Always does, yeah. 8:59.